4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
And welcome to Take No Prisoners. Thank you. We're coming to you live from New York with a wonderful studio audience. And I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. And welcome to Take No Prisoners. This is a bit of a special show, my friends, because the audience gets to stare at my face. And they're streaming out the doors right now. So welcome. We're coming to you from the fourth night of the second Law Merchant Leadership Conference. This is a very special event. This room is filled with wonderful people, many of them experiencing exactly the same challenges and distresses that you're going through. And they're all here for the purpose of trying to understand the process a little better and trying to find a solution by using the beneficiaries in common payment method to find a remedy and live in peaceful coexistence with the United States. So welcome and thanks for joining us. What's tonight, anybody? Sunday, August 5th, or as Pat said, who would listen to a man, who would take advice from a man that doesn't know the date? So, have we been having fun this week?
Yeah!
And have we actually, without being patronizing, have we learned anything this week?
Yeah!
All right. And we've got four days under our belt. We've covered during the first 2 days, we covered various BIC instruments and payment methods and methods of presentation, including the comprehensive administrative remedy, which we call option 3. And we also spent much of yesterday covering the principles of and an actual template for a very special international commercial claim, which is designed to culminate in a lien and a breach of contract within 20 days. And today, we spent an awful lot of time discussing how we would apply that technology in a variety of cases, and we're going to continue that theme tomorrow. Today, we used a lot of current cases instead of having former users of the technology explain their process. But tomorrow, I think we're going to integrate all of that. So we are blessed tonight to be with you, coming to you live from New York. And we have some special guests with us tonight. We have Beverly and James and Steve and Nick, all of whom have very interesting stories to tell and are dying to get a piece of me because I've been telling them all week, oh, just a couple of minutes, just a few minutes. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. And this is the moment when we're going to get to it. This is the moment when the bile rises up in the throat and when I ask you about your case, you say, But hopefully we'll get through that right after the break. That music, my friends, means we have a 3-minute break. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Please join us after the break.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife Frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered the disease or...
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
To America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners, live from New York. We're coming to you. I have the pleasure of coming to you from the second Law Merchant Leadership Conference. This is the evening of day four. We have one more day. I'm pleased as punch that most everyone is not going home tomorrow evening. Usually people run away from a conference afterwards and want to get home, but I'm pleased that people have planned to stay, spend another evening with us, and we'll see what we can accomplish. This has been a round-the-clock fest. We've had lecture all day. We've had discussions over lunch. We've had interesting meetings at night. We've had presentations at night. We just squeezed in a 5-minute presentation done by a friend of ours, Scott, very efficiently with some wonderful technology that's being successful out in a western state. So, we're here tonight to share as much of the technology as we possibly can with you and continue along in our BIC user's manual that we've been covering week to week. And hopefully this program will wind up in the downloads. We're going to begin tonight. First, before we begin with one of our guests, let me announce, if I may, that we're offering a free seminar September 15th and 16th in bankruptcy procedures that you may find interesting. The cost of this seminar is free. We can't make it any cheaper than that. You'll only have to pick up the hotel room because it's a two-day seminar, although you're welcome to sleep in the parking lot, I'm sure. I'm sure they would appreciate that. So if you'd like to attend, please send an email to samsfreeseminar@hush.com. There's no apostrophe in that. Sam's Free Seminar. And someone will get back to you over the next week or so. Please don't send any angry emails, especially if Roberta winds up manning that site. She's not going to like it. And she just may lose your email. And we'll do our best to give you instructions to bring you out to Albany, New York, for what should be very interesting technology. Now, when would you use bankruptcy? Well, if you're facing a pressing situation and you need to slow things down, you may find filing a bankruptcy action is an efficient way to do that. Now, they're prepared for that. They know what's been happening. There's not a bankruptcy judge around who hasn't faced a patriot in the courtroom and hasn't quickly put the kibosh on it, as some will attest to in this room. Get out of my courtroom. There are people in here who have heard that.
But we're going to show you how to turn that around. Yeah,
lock in the power of gold.
We developed the technology today, didn't we? We were working on a commercial lien, and the thought struck, we were talking about how to increase your familiarity with the courtroom, and suddenly the thought struck when I mentioned that perhaps if you wanted experience, you should sue your own straw man. And that led to suing a friend, and it occurred to me that if one were to sue a friend armed with a security interest or simply with a complaint and a petition for summary judgment or a summary judgment in lieu of complaint or some technology of that sort, something that's very easy to write, and we would choose that pathway instead of a default judgment, because this way we can achieve a summary judgment by way of default, that once you achieve that judgment, wouldn't it be nice to march that judgment, let's say on a promissory note or on some other substantial liability that is a valid liability under public policy, wouldn't it be nice to march that into the bankruptcy court and hand it to a Chapter 13 trustee or Chapter 7 trustee for that matter and ask them to collect? Now, we're not asking them to collect on the living man's security interest in a straw man or on another creditor's interest in the straw man. We're asking them to collect on a court judgment that will not be so easy to run away from. And if they do, perhaps we'd return to the other court and seek a contempt citation on the original court order, among other technologies. So we had a good time today, and we're finding all kinds of new ways to apply BIC technology, basically every time someone asks a question. So we're now about to have a nice discussion and bring forth one of our guests, Nick from the state of Georgia. Come on up here, Nick, and say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
All right, so Nick, briefly, give us a summary of your case. I know you sent me a lengthy email, but give us a summary of what happened and where you are now.
Well, I know a person that was in Georgia who attempted to purchase a car with a bill of exchange.
Hang on to that thought. We can't let that pass by. When was this?
This was about 3 months ago.
3 months ago, when they walked into a dealership with a bill of exchange?
That's correct.
Had they not been advised that that has been tried before?
No.
Oh, my. So what happened?
So they went through negotiations with the dealership, and the dealership said they know how to deal with commercial paper. They know everything involved with it. The dealership kept the bill of exchange for 14 days. On the 14th day, they invited the person in, and he was arrested.
Imagine that. Arrested for using a bill of exchange as currency. Well, I've said it once. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it one more time. I don't make recommendations generally, but I do recommend that we don't use bills of exchange as currency. Now, that's a bit of a deceptive statement, my friends, because a check, a draft from your personal checking account is a bill of exchange. Everything since 1933 has been a bill of exchange. But if you manufacture a private issue bill of exchange and use it as currency, you can anticipate having a nasty reaction from the public side of the perception of that instrument. In addition, more than likely, most, if not all, of the bills of exchange that I've examined over the years have made significant defects that invite a deleterious response. So, where does the case stand now, and what question might you have regarding that case?
Since that time, the case has the charge has been reduced down to a contempt of court. And the
what was the contempt of court for?
The contempt of court was, well, the original charge after the fictitious charge, there was a charge of a bail jump, and then it was reduced down to a simple misdemeanor, federal misdemeanor.
Okay.
So the person in a deal pleaded to the misdemeanor. However, that person is not concerned with that charge. That person has never filed tax return in their life, and in the plea agreement, the deal was that the person would only be charged if they could find federal tax violations. So the person is scared now that once he finishes the plea out, there'll be another charge added on, probably for federal tax violations. So that's what he's concerned with.
Okay. And perhaps one of the reasons he's concerned is by entering in the plea agreement, he is stipulating to being a defendant, and he's throwing himself on the mercy of the prosecutors. My experience in those situations is that once you admit to being the debtor in the case, then the prosecutor very often has a field day. Next thing you know, they're asking you to sign an appearance bond or a recognizance bond that is including your mom's home as collateral. You're forbidden from walking on the sunny side of the street, and Lord knows what other restrictions are built in there, because at the bottom of that page, it says defendant. You're signing on as defendant. On the other hand, if you do not have commercial experience or you don't have some other technology that you wholly believe in your dealings with the judicial system, then you don't have much choice other than
I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 a.m, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
And welcome to Take No Prisoners. Thank you. We're coming to you live from New York with a wonderful studio audience. And I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. And welcome to Take No Prisoners. This is a bit of a special show, my friends, because the audience gets to stare at my face. And they're streaming out the doors right now. So welcome. We're coming to you from the fourth night of the second Law Merchant Leadership Conference. This is a very special event. This room is filled with wonderful people, many of them experiencing exactly the same challenges and distresses that you're going through. And they're all here for the purpose of trying to understand the process a little better and trying to find a solution.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Medicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com. or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? EvenStarForLife.com, EvenStarForLife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, friends. We're here talking with Nick from Georgia, and Nick is facing an interesting situation in which he plea bargained a case regarding an attempted purchase. Please don't tell me it was a Cadillac.
No.
Thank goodness. Again, we've had too many patriots try to buy Cadillacs. I wish someone would go out and at least go to prison for buying a Mercedes. It's a Mercedes. He won the prize. And they set a sting operation and then eventually plea bargained down. At least his friend plea bargained down. And part of the plea bargain is the same thing that I faced in my tax refund years ago, long before the statute of limitations, in which they said, well, we'll send you a refund minus any outstanding federal liabilities. Of course, the United States has to get paid first, of course. And so that's what's happening here. There's a scenario where if there are any tax situations, any tax law violations, he can expect to be charged. So what does he do about it? What are you planning, Nick?
Right now, I'm planning on accepting all the charges for value, consideration, and closure of the account, and discharging it and paying them.
Well, that's very good. There's something else you mentioned to me on the break, a couple of things you want to do.
I want to forgive them.
What else did you want to do? You want to fire somebody?
I wanted to fire my attorney before I went back for the sentencing.
All right. Now, do we think that Nick should fire his attorney? No. Does Nick have an attorney?
No.
Because whose attorney is it? Right. Now, the problem is that Nick's involved in a plea bargain, and he is the defendant. He has assumed that role. I guarantee that plea bargain contains language in which Nick is signing as the defendant. So, what can be done in a situation like this? Well, first of all, what do we do with attorneys? As I mentioned this very day, I don't find the need to fire attorneys. I find that attorneys tend to want to avoid me like the plague. I walk in the room, some of them literally go running the other way. Let's get away from this guy. It's a very easy thing to accomplish. All those folks in the room who have written me to say they'd like to fire their attorneys, why don't you, or who have taken a shot at firing the attorneys, why don't you raise your hands? Oh, wow. A fair number of people in the room raise their hands, my friends. First of all, it's not your attorney to fire. If the judge were to appoint an attorney for me, say, I order you to get an attorney, I'd look at that judge like he's crazy. First of all, I wouldn't even be in that courtroom. But if I was, and I was able to overcome the shock that I'm crazy for being there, I would look at that judge and pretty much ask him, excuse me, is that order directed to me in my capacity as a living man? Has this court not been noticed that it is the surety on this account and that this account is settled? Or I might address the issue head on. Is he asking me to confess to being a United States person falsely and against my will? Are you operating under the assumption, sir, that I'm sort of legal fiction? I'm just looking for clarification as to who that attorney applies to. Or I might say to him, is that order directed to the defendant? Oh, it is. Well, has the court not been noticed that Miss Jones, sitting up on your right side, is holder of all liability and has confessed to being the successor surety for the defendant? Sir, should we bring her down here before the bar so she can meet the attorney? It has nothing to do with me. But if that pesky attorney gets in the way, what's the first thing we're going to do to him?
Assign liability.
We're going to assign liability. And how are we going to do that?
That's what I'm here to learn.
All right. Let me remind you, there's one day left. So, that's a real good lesson you learned, and I see no reason for your friends sitting in the back to be falling off their chairs. I would assign liability if it was me by issuing
promissory note.
A beneficiaries in common promissory note based upon a previously filed securitization bond, an indemnity bond with the Secretary of the Treasury, establishing a deposit into the United States Treasury upon which I am going to base the promissory note or route the promissory note. I'm not going to be drawing on the United States Treasury per se. I'm going to place funds into the Treasury reserved for this purpose by instructions on that bond. And so we issue the promissory note, and we issue it to the fiduciary to administer, who might just be, in this case,
the clerk of the court.
And who else?
The attorney.
The attorney. Are you being coached?
Not at all. Inspired.
We may have to send people from the room. Bailiff. The bailiff comes over and says, sir, you're not allowed to move your lips. I've seen it. So, we assign liability. It used to be, remember my friends in the dark ages only a year ago, it was we appoint him as a fiduciary or a fiduciary debtor, and then when he doesn't execute our orders, we transfer the liability in a number of different ways, and we hold him liable and we bring him in as a third-party defendant. And we were very successful at that. I've never had a public defender or a conflict defender show up after we name them as a third-party defendant. They are long gone.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
See through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my
welcome back, my friends. We're coming to you live from New York. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. All right, we're here talking with Nick from Georgia about a very interesting case. Nick is a fine automobile connoisseur. And he went out and attempted to add to his collection. Actually, excuse me, I keep talking to you, Nick, but it's one of Nick's friends, and Nick has been kind enough to come here and do the dirty work for him. And we appreciate that. A lot of groups have sent people here this week, and they're bringing this information back home to spread like the bubonic plague among their group. So, Nick has decided that he wanted to fire the attorney. Or his friend, with Nick here in proxy, wants to fire the attorney, perhaps is considering firing the attorney. And so, my thought is, if we can transfer the liability to the attorney, make him a liable party, he'll do what so many people do when they're caught, or what roaches do when you walk in the basement room and turn on the light. They go running. Or if you live in my neighborhood, rats go running. And so, the quickest way we can get to a establishing, for the record, a new surety on behalf of the defendant, the better it is. So you would do that by way of issuing, as you said, a bonded promissory note. What else would you do then? How would you present it?
I would present it to the clerk of the court.
With, in what fashion? What technology would you use? Would you use a comprehensive? Would you use a comprehensive approach? Would you use a notice of counterclaim? How would you do it?
I'm thinking of using a counterclaim.
Counterclaim, right? That'd be short and sweet. Would you consider using the commercial lien process?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so the first order of business is Nick really has to decide which of the four presentment methods or hybrid thereof would he prefer or would his friend, will you recommend to your friend to use? And then some sort of presentment is going to be made to the clerk of the court and possibly to the attorney. Now, you would make a presentment to the clerk of the court if the clerk of the court is the one making the offer at this point. And when the attorney went before, when the prosecutor went before the clerk of the court and transferred all of the liability and the rights to the court, then they became involved, they became the front man, very much like how mortgages are passed around, and so you're dealing with them. Is your friend's plea bargain finalized?
No, it's not. He appears on sometime in the latter part of this month.
And will he go through with that plea bargain and worry about the rest, or will he just attempt to deal with this thing like a fresh case?
He's going to attempt to deal with this like a fresh case.
Oh, my. So we're opening up the whole can of worms right now, which means acceptance for value, issuance, hopefully a whole staggered carousel of indemnity bonds to the Secretary of Treasury, and then simultaneous issuance of an offset bond and at least one promissory note to the court. One could accomplish, kill two birds with one stone by naming co-fiduciaries on the instrument. This is a perfect example of that. And the co-fiduciaries would be the attorney involved in the case and the clerk of court. So now we have two fiduciaries we can bring in as third-party defendants. We might even name the judge in the case. And from there on in, it's anybody's guess what will happen. But during that period of time, it might be very helpful to be preparing our enforcement strategies. So one might wish to choose from the stage two options whether one wants to resort to a three-day offer of immunity, and if so, which one of the three that methods that are provided, or would one want to move right to enforcement. But you look to me like you conduct yourself like a pious man.
I'm trying.
Good. And so what approach would you like to take in enforcement?
The boiler point part of the enforcement.
Can you be more specific? All right. So we would start off with a three-day offer of immunity and then choose technologies from there on in. Is Treasury liquidation on that list?
I'm considering that.
All right, very good. And since you're already involved in the public, did you say there was something that your friend might wish to rescind?
We're looking at him to possibly rescind his signatures from all the documents.
All the previous documents?
All the previous documents that he signed, non-assumpt with all rights reserved.
All right, so rescinding all the previous documents, including perhaps that infamous bill of exchange, and that could be rescinded very simply. We have a document in the International Commercial Claims Schedule N. What's the name of that document, folks? All right, was it a stop payment order? Something of that sort, where we're stopping payment on the instrument for failure to honor it, just like you would on a check. You've sat on that thing for 3 weeks, nothing's happened. I'm going to issue a stop payment order and replace it with this bonded promissory note. And at that point, we're starting the whole case over. None of this will be successful unless Nick's friend is really ready for the challenge at hand and committed to acting as a creditor and practices and learns and uses this case to cut his teeth on, fully understanding the risks of what he's doing, because these judges are experts, but nonetheless, they're holding the liability. You will not be successful if you're lazy, and you must, absolutely must, prepare your enforcement strategies in advance, perhaps even during that 10-day period. Until you establish that separation, until the end of the 10-day interval, after initial presentment, when the notary can certify that there is truly a new successor surety, and you can then issue a notice of successor surety with the rescission package and rescission documents, possibly including a new bonded promissory note, which would then give you a further opportunity to convert liability to the other parties. Until that point, there's not much you can say to people about don't arrest me, because anything you say is going to be, I'm not that stinking defendant, which is an argument that puts you in contempt, and you're right back in equity. So it's essential to get to that point as quickly as possible. And when you're at that point, now you take that notice of surety, and you will convey that to the appropriate parties, the appropriate PD or the village or county PD or the county sheriffs, the state police, or whomever may be involved in the case. Any final questions, Nick?
No, thank you. I'd like to say that this has been the best experience I've had in a long time, and I'm seeking to grow from it.
Well, thank you very much. That's what we're anxious to hear. Not necessarily that this is the best experience that people have had, but that people feel that they're coming away with a tangible vision of what it is they intend to accomplish and a sense that they can accomplish it if they will simply commit the time and the internal resources to accomplish the goals that they establish. You know, all the successful people in the world are successful, A, because they didn't let their fear of success overcome their good judgment, and B, because they persevered. You know, something lit a fire in their belly, like the day they arrested me. And I knew from that moment on, never again. They can try it again, but in 21 days I'm going to walk away with their house and their county. Never again. And until you have that fire in your belly, it's probably not a good idea to proceed forward with these things. So it's a pleasure having you here. You've been dogging me all week, and I'm glad we got that out of the way. I couldn't sleep tonight, and I didn't sleep last night because I was thinking about you. Hold it, that sounds bad. All right. Thanks very much, Nick.
Thank you.
So let's hear it for Nick. All right. Beverly, how'd you like to step forward? Hi, Beverly.
Hello.
Now, Beverly, I couldn't sleep last night because I was thinking about you.
That's how all my men are.
All right. So, Beverly, why don't you give us a little summary, a slow, brief summary of what I have a feeling will be a complex situation.
It is, and it's reason number two that I'm here for this week.
What's reason number one?
It's incorporated in this. You'll hear it. My parents are being sued by a title company. Here's the reason. In mid-80s, they assumed an FHA loan from someone going into foreclosure, a friend of a friend, made extra high payments, and have made timely payments, never a late one, since then. 2 years ago today, we got title paper saying it had been sold. Deed had been forged with their name on it. The $40,000 loan on the house had been paid off, as well as reason number one, some IRS tax liens for about $40,000. Okay, so now the title company is coming after my parents for that sum of money, and that woman that we've told you about is now going to all of our tenants, knocking and asking for the rent.
All right, so we have what sounds to me like a complicated situation. I find that the men approach us with straightforward stuff. I attempted to buy a Mercedes with a piece of paper. And the women come to me with some very interesting stories. So let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. First of all, when you hear that someone forged a check, I begin to think that perhaps there's a public solution to such a thing. If you can put the police agencies to work on your behalf, by all means do it, but that's not always so easy. And the more knowledge you gain sometimes, the harder it appears to be. But we now have a title company that has deigned to sue the people from whom it was complicit in I won't use the word stealing because I don't know the exact circumstances, but in securing property that it appears they had no interest in. They were hired by the purchaser of the property on a forged deed. Now, there are criminal procedures that can be completed on such a thing, that if one goes ahead and files a false quitclaim deed, there are police agencies who would love to get their hands on those people, and that's how I drum up business, because they wind up at a seminar like this. But we'd rather not have them. We'd rather have you here. So what are you planning in this circumstance?
Well, my parents are guiltless in the whole thing, but we do need this lawsuit to go away because my parents have no intention of not only paying that $40,000 or anything else, and if they had the intentions, they would have already paid off the mortgage. So.
All right. So you're here. Your parents aren't here. You're here. How old are your parents?
The cops did step in because they're elderly. My dad's in his mid-80s and my mom's mid-70s.
What do you mean the cops stepped in?
Well, we got a fairly quick resolution as far as getting the possession of the house back because of elder abuse. And so the person who actually did forge the deed is on trial for the last 2 years. Still not gone to trial yet.
All right, so we have a party on trial. And you haven't been able to parlay that without going to BIC in some sort of recognition by the title company that they may be brought into the lawsuit as well? Have you ever thought about coming into the criminal case as a friend of the court and naming them as a third-party defendant?
That's a good suggestion. We are part of the criminal as part of, for witnesses, of course. And that's going fine. It's just the title company dogging my parents.
There is no easier way to dispose of a civil suit than to counterclaim with a criminal charge. I've seen it a dozen times. I've been involved in it. If you can bring them in, are you front prosecutor?
Yes.
Why don't you ask the prosecutor to bring the president of the title company in to a grand jury? Wait till you watch this go away. He'll come out of the grand jury. You and your attorney will be standing there and saying, would you like to settle this now? I guarantee you this will disintegrate before your eyes. Before you leave that courthouse, that'll be the end of it. And if not, then I would ask for a psych evaluation for the guy because he's not thinking clearly. He's going to suffer a criminal action. I don't care what the attorney's whispering in her ear. This is one where I'd let the criminal attorney hear the offer because the attorney, hopefully, the attorney's judgment, this is what attorneys do. They negotiate all day long. And if the attorney has half a brain, then he's going to recommend to the president of the title company, you don't want any part of this. They don't even have to indict him, just bring him into a grand jury. And if the prosecutor would be willing to do that, why hasn't the prosecutor done that?
There's very little they've been able to do. The trial keeps getting moved. There's not even been a trial yet, and we got this paperwork 2 years ago today.
Yeah, what do you mean there's very little that they can do?
No, that they have done it.
That they have done. But the prosecutor's friendly with you.
Yes.
So why do you think the prosecutor has not been more aggressive in the case?
Nothing in it for her.
Okay. Do you know her personally?
Only through this and meeting with her for depositions and that type of thing.
All right. Well, does she understand that the title company is actually pressing the issue civilly?
Yes, now.
And how does she feel about that?
She doesn't seem to want to be bothered with it until this criminal case is done.
All right. You can bring them in. You can join this case. As your parents in the lawsuit can name them as a third-party defendant. You don't even have to do it. Imagine that. Bring them in as a third-party defendant, just like you would if your car was rear-ended by another and pushed into the truck in front of you. They sue you, and the first thing you would do is sue the guy behind you. There's already a civil suit going. That's one thing I would consider, even before I might head into BIC technology. Now, what would I do with the civil suit? What would you do with the civil suit? Forget all the other factors and the anger and the disgust at the title company committing the crime. This is pretty much you know, the burglar trips on the way out on the mat and sues you. So what might you do? You've been here 4 days. You've been asking great questions. You're sitting there with that bunch of yahoos from Texas.
Yeah!
You guys have a substantial amount of knowledge and experience. So what might you do in light of what you've heard this week?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the commercial claim in option four would work. However, that might be just a little too much involved for what my parents are up for.
All right. Well, clearly that might not be what your parents are up for, but they don't have to be involved in the commercial claim. See, if you were to come in, and I'm not telling you to do this, because when you make the decision to come in as a creditor in a lawsuit, you'd better know who you are and what you're doing, my friends. You'd better be a creditor. You saw me as a creditor earlier today, and I've told you a couple of stories about just things I did this week. If you want to step on my property, then you're going to find out just what I'm willing to do. Or better yet, you'll find out that I'm not willing not to do anything within my lawful province. So, if you'd like to find out what Sam Kennedy would do regarding a commercial claim and take possession of the title company, why don't you tune in after the break? You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Join us!
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Receive a free DVD with purchase.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only.
Insert dollars please. The theme of the United States. In fact, I do think they should take down the Ten Commandments in every courtroom and hang that. Because that would be truth in advertising, my friends. So, it occurred to me on the break, I asked Beverly who forged the signature, and she said, we know who forged the signature. He was the original lender. So there's original borrower. What the hell's the difference in this society? This is internet radio. We can. My apologies if I have offended any sensibilities. I see no reason why the litigants in this manner couldn't come into this criminal case and name third-party defendants. Now, as we discussed, however, the prosecutor is going to come in and say they have no standing. So you might come in as a creditor, you might come in as a friend of the court, and on your pleading make the point that there is a third-party defendant. Because you would not be in the case as a defendant seeking to name a third-party defendant, so you just have to figure out some way to get into the case. There are many ways to do that. But once you're in, the very first thing that you would do, if the prosecutor is not willing to bring them to a grand jury and bring the former borrower to the grand jury, then you issue subpoenas. The third-party plaintiff would ask the clerk of court for subpoenas. Now, if they refuse, of course, you're in conflict, and they're supposed to be prosecuting on your behalf. But again, you realize that this criminal case, like all others, is not about prosecuting anybody. It's about raising revenue, and if you buck the system, even if it's doing it purportedly on your behalf, you'll have a problem because the system will not operate on your behalf. So you have to decide how far you can use the criminal case without blowing it. Although 2 years later, doesn't sound to me like they're doing a great job, does it? Shouldn't take 2 years to prosecute who are they prosecuting?
The original borrower who forged the deed.
That's who they're prosecuting. Oh, very good. So that's already part of the case. So what am I talking about? So thank you for letting me ramble on. So then let's go back to our cliffhanger. How are we going to take possession of the title company? Well, Beverly indicated that she'd like to use the commercial lien process option 4 in our presentment options. After issuing an appropriate indemnity bond or bonds to Treasury, then we would have... That's our music in the background, my friend. After issuing an appropriate indemnity bond, we would be ready to issue the bonded promissory note. And that would be routed through an offset bond. Now, that promissory note is going to be delivered by some process, and Beverly has indicated she'd like to use...
one of my friends in Texas.
Well, that's very good, but I was sort of alluding to the commercial claim. So we'd use the international...
commercial claim.
Right, the international commercial claim slash lien to deliver the goods, and in so doing, develop at the end of the process, approximately 20 days later, a commercial lien. Now, one has to be careful as to how one would present a commercial lien, of course, because a commercial lien can be risky to use, and there are many people in prison who understand that. And that music, my friends, means we're coming to the end of the first hour, and this is the longest cliffhanger in radio history. But when we return for the second hour, we will discover how to take possession of the title company's property.